Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put hundreds of millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
Free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. A rare day, the full crew's here, Bob, Kelly, and Dima. We're glad you're with us as well. Golden Eagles have another great weekend in baseball as they sweep Louisiana Monroe. Finish the week rated 12th in this morning's D1 college baseball poll. Move up a spot in Baseball America from 13 to 12, and in the coaches poll, 13th. So the Golden Eagles a solid 12 around the nation, an RPI of 11, 34 and 14 on the year, 18 and 6 in the Sun Belt. It was a long Saturday and an exciting Sunday, and we bring Coach Christian Ostrander on the show as we do every Monday. Coach, I think it all starts and begins with this one stat. Your pitchers threw 44 strikeouts and 4 walks over the weekend. You had one pitcher that threw 15 strikeouts and 7 innings, that being Camden Clark. You really just could not have had a better weekend from a pitching standpoint. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, one of the best collective weekends that, you know, that I can remember in my time here, so I thought the guys threw the ball really, really well.
Coach, let's start Sunday and move our way back. Let's start with the 7-3 win yesterday. Another solid performance by Camden Sundstrom. 6 innings, 4 hits, 5 strikeouts, no base on balls. And your guys hit the ball better. 12 hits, 8 of those coming from Higdon, Russo, and Gillespie. When you pitch that well and you have 12 hits, you're going to win pretty much every game. Fair to say?
You should be in them. There ain't no doubt about it. You should be in them. And, you know, and it was, I thought it was a very clean game and, you know, all aspects, all 3 aspects were there.
Yeah. And then Saturday, a very long day of all days to have an extra inning game is when you got to play a doubleheader. Back up just a second before you talk about the games. Coaches, you guys just don't like doubleheaders, do you?
Not really. No, it's, I can remember that back in my JUCO days, Division II days. And, yeah, it's, It's long days, so anytime you can just go, you know, 1-9 any game a day, I'll take that anytime.
Well, for sure. The game, opening game Saturday, very long, 11 games. Pitcher's duel, a 2-1 win. Another great performance, though, by Graydon Harris, 7 innings, 5 hits, and then Colby Allen comes in and strikes out 7 batters in 4 innings. He was on fire. And on a day when your team's just not hitting the opposing pitching very well, pitching saved you, right?
It did, yeah, I think so. I think, you know, runs were at a premium that day. So in order to win, we had to keep them in check too. So just, you know, hats off to our guys for doing that. And, you know, there's so many different ways to win a baseball game or things that can help win it. And, you know, that day it was predominantly, you know, it leaned on the pitching side of it for sure.
Yeah. And then game two, there's really only one person to talk about, I suppose, and that's Camden Clark. 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, 15 strikeouts, and no balls. I mean, you just can't pitch much better, Coach Hawes.
No, he was really good. You know, I think other than one mistake, a pitch, you know, he left over the plate, the guy hit out. It was pretty much flawless, and that's hard to do.
Coach, it really felt like going into maybe the Texas State Series, maybe a week before that, you know, when you looked at this rotation, you were really confident in one guy and everyone else you were kind of viewing as openers. I remember asking that question and those things. And now that you have a solidified rotation, I mean, it has to just give you some confidence in knowing the fact that those guys can go out there and pitch 6-7 innings and, you know, your bullpen can come right behind you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's nice to be at this point to where you feel very confident in your three starters that each game of that weekend or tournament or whatever it is, you know, you got a guy going to go out there that can keep you in a game and give you a chance to win. So, it does feel good. It feels right. And, we're just glad that, you know, these guys have settled in and, you know, performing in these roles.
And I think it's helped, you know, to see where this bullpen's going to go. Still, you know, we saw, you know, the transformation of the bullpen over the season so far of you trying to just piece together the pieces, and it feels like that puzzle is finally coming into fruition between, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys.
It does. It always does. It always takes some time, and some people might not understand that. Like, well, why didn't you do this earlier or do that mm-hmm. earlier? You got to let things play out. You got to let guys have opportunities to. You know, we had some guys gave them opportunities to be starters early in the year, and it just didn't work as good, so you had to change it. And you always knew you had good arms in the bullpen that you greedily you want to keep there, right? But you might have to put them to starting. So it just takes time. There's just a give and take of the season that you got to kind of, you know, fill it out, and hopefully you get to a point where it's like, there it is, you know, this is it. Let's roll from here. So, and I think we're at that point.
Coach, we had talked in a production meeting earlier, and I actually kind of said it before you said it on the air, that I think in all the years I've covered Southern Miss baseball, that was the most sterling weekend performance of an entire staff that I had ever seen, ever. So congratulations on that. But Camden Clark in particular, it wasn't especially sharp last weekend. What was, you know, certainly compared to this weekend, but then again, what was he doing especially well this week that maybe he wasn't doing last week, and then a follow-up to that?
You know, myself and Coach Leger, you know, both kind of agreed that the difference was last weekend he was too elevated. He was up in the zone from pitch one, and so the sight line of those hitters were, you know, that's all they were, you know, just jumping on that, looking for that. When he can get his sight line down on his fastball, down at the knees, and then elevate when he wants to, move it around, that's when it gets really difficult. But not only that, I mean, he was executing, you know, his off-speed pitches, three different off-speed pitches for strikes at any times, and a fastball that he could put it down in the zone, in, out, up. I mean, four different quadrants. That's pretty tough.
Because people don't understand, too, like golfers sometimes will go out and shoot 64 one round and then go out and shoot 75 the next on the same course. And people go, how does that happen? When you get that question, Coach, with your pitchers as to how can they be so good one day and maybe not as good the next day, what is your answer to a question like that?
Well, they're human. They're not perfect. They're amateurs still. And, you know, they're still learning. They're still growing, you know, and you know, figuring things out. And usually it goes back to some kind of, you know, you just weren't probably in total control of your mental state, you know, of being, you know, locked in and under control. And not that you weren't trying to compete, but just, you know, it was just a little too broad. And, you know, that's what I always go to. But they're not going to be perfect every time. But, you know, I think part of growth, and especially for Camden Clark, you know, he had a great start against Texas State, not a good one against South Al, but bounced back and had a really good one. So now he's tasted both. He's seen what the highest end could be like, the low end could be like, the middle, and now he just knows where he needs to be, you know, to be consistent. So I think that's just part of just natural growth.
And I think it needs to be noted, too, that was against one of the better hitting teams in the Sun Belt.
Yeah, I mean, you know, on paper they sure were, and we knew it. I mean, watching video on them, me and Gunner knew that, okay, you know, we're going to have to earn this. You can't do the same thing over and over and be successful. So, but overall, I mean, I just thought our guys really throttled them, man. I don't think they could breathe, you know, at the plate this weekend, and that was fun.
You know, Sundstrom, he didn't have necessarily the strikeout numbers that the first two had, but Oz, it feels like his slider is just really coming on. You know, that pitch that he had, that he was floating over the plate, I mean, it seems to be a strikeout pitch. We asked him about it yesterday, and he says that pitch has gotten a lot better over the season.
Yeah, it has. I think credit him. It started, you know, he stuck around here this summer and worked with us, and I thought it really, we kind of got it. All right, this is what we want it to look like and be like. Now you just got to go and master it. And that's what the fall and the spring has been. And I think it's just getting better and better. So yeah, he's done a great job. And you know, his fastball is going to be low 90s with some good sink. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that slider, you know, once he gets to where he can throw that change up as confidently as he does his slider, then he's going to be a real handful, and we'll see that. You know, it's coming. You know, whether it's, you know, by the end of this year or it's next year, we'll see it, and it's going to be impressive.
We're talking to baseball coach Christian Ostrander, as we do every Monday. His high-flying Golden Eagles, 12th in this week's D1 poll, 12th in Baseball America, 13th in the USA Coaches poll, and the RPI is still very, very high at 11. When we come back, we're going to talk to Coach about some offensive questions. Also, I thought he made a change at third base, and I thought Ty Long played brilliantly at third base. I'd like to get Coach's observation of that. And as we head down the stretch here, the Golden Eagles look like they are really positioning themselves to host another NCAA regional. So we're going to talk to Coach Oz about all of that. As we head to the break, MCS Home Center was at the ballpark this weekend. They handed out 2,000 T-shirts. I saw them all over the Pete. Remember, MCS Home Center is where you go for home repair, home remodeling, home construction, everything you need for your next project, home, lawn, or garden. It's available at MCS Home Center. And I did see Scott Berry. I did see him handing out T-shirts. So that was all true. Also, I want to remind you about Forest Health. They want to remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is important, but you're the most important player. So be sure you get an annual physical, eat right, exercise, and be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. More with Coach Christian Ostrander on the other side of this very short Eagle Hour break.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, this section of our program is sponsored by Eagle Tire West on Highway 98 West. That's where you'll find Southern Miss player Matt Warren and his staff. I was there last week buying tires, and I couldn't have got a better deal. They sell premium Goodyear products. They provide full service truck and auto service. They've been in business since 1985. They're locally owned and operated. Goodyear Tires, full service, and big Southern Miss supporters. That is Eagle Tire West. And another great supporter of Southern Miss baseball is Genesis of Hattiesburg. They're the official auto dealer of our show, and they're big USM guys. Genesis sedans and SUVs are all at their exclusive Genesis dealership on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We have Coach Christian Ostrander on the show. Coach, I know injuries made you move a little bit around. You put Ty Long at third base over the weekend, and I want you to describe his play, because from a fan standpoint, it was pretty electric. It seemed like super quick release, electric arm, very, very athletic at third base.
Yeah, I mean, all of the above for what you just said there. I mean, he's an extremely talented defensive player. He could be playing short right now. You know, he's good enough to do that. And so on the left side of the field there, he's got plenty of arm, you know, and so his glove's really true, and his athleticism and range is really good. So he's done a great job of, you know, filling in while Dre's, you know, hamstrings healing.
And that speaks to your depth, because he just hasn't played a whole lot this year. When you got a kid like that that you can bring in and he can perform like that, how big of an advantage from a coaching standpoint is that?
Well, it's crucial, you know, and we knew, we were very confident that we had that, you know, that extra infielder for sure, you know, and obviously Ty, you know, wish he had more opportunities, and I'm proud of him for keeping himself ready when that moment came and stuff. So, but he definitely, I thought, made a difference in the games this weekend. Yes. With his defensive play.
And it does appear that the bull has come alive again at the plate, fair to say?
Oh yeah, he's got a lot of motivation. You know, he is. He's got a lot of emotion inside of him, because he knows his time as a Golden Eagles, you know, is drawing to an end, and You know, he loves his place and loves playing here, so he's got a lot of extra motivation inside.
And Dima, this is another kid that plays very well defensively. You look at Bull, you wouldn't think that, but he's pretty daggum athletic at first base.
Yeah, I'd say both corners of the infield this week, you know, stole several hits for sure. I mean, I can think of three that Ty stole, and then one or two that Russo stole. Coach, I wanted to ask about Higdon and just his, you know, consistent presence from the plate. I think, you know, obviously a slow start, but I mean, over the last four weeks, whatever it is, I mean, just giving you some consistent at bats in that six hole. I mean, he really fights off pitches, doesn't swing at, you know, junk, and he's just a good plate presence right now, I think.
Yeah, he's just a mature player. You know, he's done a great job, and you know, that batting average just keeps on rising, and yes, just like it did last year, if you mm-hmm. remember. And, you know, and I think that's a characteristic of some other guys, too. So, you know, you see guys starting to see it better, see it more, get hotter at the right time and stuff. That could bode well for us. And but, no, Ben's done a phenomenal job. He's done a great job defending right field, too, man. A big position here, you know, that has a lot of uniqueness to it because of the roost and the relationship. And, you know, Pato had that thing for, you know, 4 years or whatever. So, Ben's done a great job of just stepping in there and carrying it on.
And not necessarily to put the cart ahead of the horse, Coach Ostrander, but I know fans would probably like to know this question about when will you and your staff start really getting some pretty solid intel on whether you're going to lose certain players, A, B, and C, to the Major League Amateur Draft?
You know, we spend time talking to scouts, you know, guys we trust, and, you know, and just kind of pick their brain, you know, what are they thinking, what does their organizations think on this guy, and things of that nature. So you can hear some things. You're never going to know for sure. You know, it's, you know, surprises happen, and, you know, both ways, whether a guy gets chosen or not get chosen, it can be surprising. You know, but we're definitely aware of it and trying to stay ahead of it. That way we can have a great plan of attack, you know, if we think we're going to lose player, you know, X, Y, or Z.
2 weekends left, Coach, in conference. You know, it really feels like you figured out your rotation and your bullpen. What's one thing you want to see from your offense over the next 2 weeks that, you know, you want to see before tournament play starts?
Touch home plate a lot more. You know, that's pretty simple, man. It's about generating runs and, you know, score as many runs as we can and try to prevent the opponent from doing that as well.
Well, Coach, talk about this upcoming opponent. What do we know about them? I know it's a long way from here, but you guys are going to fortunately get to fly out there, I learned over the weekend. I'm really happy to hear that. You're not going to have to fight airports, if I have my information correctly. But what about the opponent this weekend, Coach?
Just dangerous as any opponent we'll play. I mean, you know, haven't dug in too deep offensively. I know they're extremely athletic. I think they've got 100-plus stolen bases as a team. That's how their offense goes. You know, they're not going to just line up and try to outslug you, I don't think. I think it's going to be more small ball oriented, you know, put pressure on your defenses and stuff like that. So throwing strikes is going to be a premium. I think our staff does that pretty good. You know, so, yeah, I mean. overall, I think our numbers, anytime you're 3.5-1 strikeout to walk ratio as a full staff at this point, you know, that's a pretty good characteristic. But, yeah. You know, we're just going to have to go play clean baseball. You're going to be on the road in an environment that I've never been there, and most of our team hadn't been there. I think Caleb Stelly might have been there, and a few guys might have played summer ball games there, but that's about it. So we're going to go in and respect the opponent and just try to play the best brand of baseball we can play.
Real quick, Kelly. Yeah. Talking about stealing bases, now I got to ask you about this. There was a situation this weekend where Higdon gets on, he steals second, and then he steals third. And one of my partners sits there and looks at me and he goes, I believe he did that on his own. I don't think the coach told him to steal third. And I said, I don't believe in 1,000 years that kid would have stolen third base on his own. That was a called play. Was I right, Coach?
I don't know. You're going to have to ask Coach Creel that when you speak with him. But more than likely, the way it looked to me, I'll be honest with you, I think it was just, you know, he got some momentum. His feet were moving, and then the pitcher goes to plate, and he did right. You know, he had it. And so usually that's more instinctive. You know, Travis might have gave him that sign. But to me, it looked like it might have been more of an instinctive play.
Oh, well, my partner may have been right. But I know this. It was exciting. you know, it fired people up when he stole third base, that's for sure.
We've been saving that combo,
that steal second, steal third, just for the right time this year. So,
the fact that you don't have a midweek game, Coach Ostrander, does that affect your week preparation for JMU this weekend?
Not at all. We'll give the guys off today to recover and get away from it, and we'll do lives tomorrow. The pitchers that hadn't thrown this weekend, they'll throw to our hitters tomorrow, and we'll work out tomorrow and Wednesday and get on a plane and head out Thursday.
Yeah, coaching strategy, though. There was one game, and, of course, three games in a weekend. There was one time when you had a hitter up with the bunt. You know, strategy 101 would be the bunt. Fouled the first two, and then you still had the bunt on for strike three.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the decision to try the bunt again or let him hit away. Take us through a decision-making process on something like that.
Well, the screen bunt, it was definitely, the time to do it then. There was another time this weekend where there was some little indecision on should we or shouldn't we, and thought we'd give him a shot at one and then let him swing after first strike. But the one you're talking about, I think with two strikes, it was definitely – keeping it on was a risk because I think Tucker was the bunter.
And, yes, that's right.
Tucker's a really good bunter. Tucker's a really good sacrifice bunter, and he was extremely upset with himself. He didn't get it done. But, I had just as much confidence in him doing it with two strikes as I did with no strikes. So that's why we kept it on.
I wanted to ask about Graydon Harris really quickly, Coach, before we run out of time. But, to start that game on Friday or Saturday morning, I guess, but – you went out kind of early to talk to him. I'm just curious on what you said, because once you talked to him, he switched it up.
He tightened up.
And I don't know. You just normally don't go out that early, so I was just curious about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just you could tell he was getting too rotational. Anytime Graydon starts kind of rotating, over-rotating, and not staying directional down the line and keeping everything in line together, that's when – the hand gets away from the head. That's when his misses start happening, start spraying a little bit, and just kind of reminded him to, hey man, just keep a good direction, stay in your legs, stay over that rubber, and don't overdo it. And he just needed a little reminder, a little change of pace, and just a reset. But he did a great job, and then really found his groove, in my opinion, that third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh inning.
No doubt.
All right, Coach, I know you didn't pay attention to this probably, but a big hit this weekend was the bat boy from Monroe. He was about the cutest little guy you could ever see. Do you have any idea, was that one of the coach's sons?
Yeah, that was Coach Pemberton, the head coach's son.
That was quite a nice. Mm-hmm. That was quite a nice addition to the weekend, I thought.
Oh yeah, he's going to do well at school.
He was really sharp. All right, Coach. Well, thanks very much. Congratulations to you on a great weekend and the direction you're leading this team down the stretch. We sure look forward to talking to you next Monday.
All right, thank you all.
Christian Ostrander, everybody.
They're rolling, Bob.
The Bat Boy was the hit of the weekend. I heard more people talking about the Bat Boy than almost anything, and there was a fabulous picture of him. I don't know if you saw that with all their bats behind him.
Really?
It was really, really a cool thing.
Bats are bigger than he was.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. We'll be right back.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, I want to thank Christian Ostrander, joins us every Monday. Good talking when you play like they played this weekend. 44 strikeouts and 4 walks. That's sick.
We've mentioned on this show before that when you're looking at major league walk to strikeout ratios, 3-1, you want to strike out 3 times as many men as you walk. 4-1, you're really cooking. New math or old, what is that, 10 or 11-1? That's just absolutely unheard of. But it could happen just the other way around too, where another pitching staff gets hot. You're not going to beat anybody if the pitching staff like Southern Miss did. You can't beat pitching like that. It's impossible.
No. And they gave up a couple home runs, but there was never really any innings that they were under a whole lot of pressure, that they were threatened.
Well, because the walks were so low.
Yeah.
I mean, four over the whole weekend?
Right.
I mean, and I think all of those were in the first game, if I'm not mistaken.
One pitcher threw three of them.
Yeah, which was Graydon. Yeah. And then Colby walked. Yeah, so all of them were in the first game. The next two games,
no walks.
They didn't have any walks.
Zero walks.
So, I mean, it's just, it's ridiculous numbers. So that means they had what in the second game?
Now, Colby
was
Allen.
Was that 19 strikeouts, no walks in the second game?
Yeah, Colby Allen walked one guy, but he also struck out seven in the four innings that he was pitching. Hey, this segment is sponsored by D-Bat on Hardy Street. Looks like some of the pitchers been down there working out. D-Bat is a great baseball and softball training facility with state-of-the-art equipment and expert people down there to help you get in the best shape you can be for the sport of your choice. And we really appreciate all that D-Bat does for our program.
You know, if you've followed this baseball program like we have on this show for as long as we've done this show, this is standard operating procedure for Southern Miss. Mm-hmm. I mean, not necessarily a great midweek team, but right about this time of year, kind of like the horse that won the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, you know, they kick this thing into gear and away they go. And it started last weekend. We could kind of see them turn in the corner, and then a sweep over a decent Louisiana Monroe team this weekend. Statistically, record-wise, the two weakest teams in the league still to go heading into the Sun Belt tournament, shaping up pretty well.
And meanwhile, the first-place team, Coastal, did lose a game. I think the Eagles are within three of them now.
Yeah. They're,
and you say their schedule is much harder than USM's going down the stretch.
Yes. They got Old Dominion this week, which isn't a cakewalk in my opinion. Now, that is a home series, but Coastal just lost a game. They should have lost that series to Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern, which is one of the worst teams in the league and who does play in Hattiesburg next week. Georgia Southern was up like 7-1 in the first game, and Coastal came back and won that game. And then Coastal blew them out in the second game. And then yesterday's game, Georgia Southern was up again 7-1, and Coastal almost came back again, but Georgia Southern hung on to salvage the series there. So Southern Miss right now 16-8 in conference. They sit three games back from Coastal Carolina. And Coastal, like I said, Old Dominion this week, but then next week at Louisiana, who Louisiana right now is really playing for their season. And it's an article I wrote this morning, which you can go find at HubCitySpokes.com. But I talked about the Sun Belt's at-large standings right now, and we're going to have Mark Etheridge on and Stats McGee on this week to talk a lot about tournament stuff and RPI and all those things. But, guys, right now it's looking like the Sun Belt's only going to be a two-bid league. Everybody else has kind of fallen off, you know, and really the only two teams, in my opinion, who have the best shot at getting in outside of Southern Miss and Coastal is Louisiana and
App?
And no, not App.
Okay.
I don't think they have a 97 RPI. They're not getting in unless they win the tournament. It's going to be either Louisiana or Troy. Those two teams are really the only two teams right now who I think have a decent chance. Well, you could throw South Alabama in there, but their RPI is kind of low.
But the Cajuns have won five in a row, haven't they?
Yes.
I think they're playing really well.
Right. And so that's going to be interesting. So I think if you're Southern Miss, you're rooting for a sweep, of course, against JMU, and you're looking for Old Dominion just to take one against Coastal, which I don't think is that hard for them to do. That would get you within two games. And then next week, if you were to sweep Georgia Southern and hope Coastal Carolina loses the series at Louisiana, that would put you tied for first with them. And then I don't know what the conference tiebreakers would be, but obviously all this would be alleviated if they would have just played each other.
That would have made a lot of sense. That would have made a lot. And we should point out that App State did lose a game this weekend.
Yes, they did.
So they fell a game behind the Golden Eagles.
Right.
They were tied, but the Golden Eagles did have the tiebreaker. Now you really, in a sense, have a two-game lead over App State because you own the lead and the tiebreaker.
Yeah, and they got a tough schedule, too, upcoming as well. So I think Southern Miss is pretty safe in that two seed, provided they take care of business, which is where you want to be, which is where they seem to be every single year. It's just whether or not they're going to be able to catch Coastal, which they've made a stride at it. You know, they're 8-1 in their last nine conference games. So they've made a good push at it. Let's see if they can get it done. You know, the real killer to me was last week. If they could have beaten South Alabama in that Sunday game, they would only be two games back in that juncture. And then really, you have a lot of possibilities at that.
And that's the freaky thing about baseball. They lost that game on what would have normally been a chopper to the third baseman, but it went over his head. Mm-hmm. That created a double. And then one bad pitch from Colby Allen, they hit it out and they lose by one run.
And we talked about the Cajuns winning five in a row, but South Al's playing really well all of a sudden.
Yeah, I think they've won five in a row.
So when you thing is wide open still.
Yeah, and it's going to be a really interesting weekend in Montgomery. I mean, it really is. I mean, I would not be surprised if somebody not named Southern Miss or Coastal wins that tournament. I would just not be surprised.
This might be the year for that.
I agree. I mean, it's not to say that Southern Miss and Coastal are not good. It's that there's going to be about four pretty good teams needing to win that thing to get into the tournament.
Let's play out this scenario. Louisiana goes on a tear, and the Cajuns win the tournament. Now it's a three-bid league because that doesn't prevent Southern Miss and Coastal from hosting largely, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or certainly being, obviously, in the tournament.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. What do you think the Golden Eagles have to do to lock down the host site?
Well, again, you can go to my Twitter and read the article I put out. And Southern Miss right now is in probably the best position that I've ever seen them in for hosting. I mean, they're sitting there at the 11 RPI, which last year they were 19. All the metrics this season are better as far as RPI goes. You know, when you look at Southern Miss's metric, their strength of schedule is number 9 in the entire country. Last year it was 60th, and they got a host. Their non-conference RPI is number 2. Last year it was like in the high upper 20s. All of their metrics are significantly better than they were last season. So, I mean, it really, as long as they just win the next two series, they should get it.
Yeah. And the AD's on the selection committee.
Yeah, well, you know.
That doesn't hurt.
It doesn't hurt.
And I would be shocked, really, just to play devil's advocate, if somebody other than Coastal or Southern wins that. I think it'll be either Coastal or Southern. Okay. And I think the reason, it simply comes down to pitching depth.
Sure.
And one of the things that we've talked about, although not a lot on this program this year, is how the Eagles generally, as far as pitchers go, have been healthy. They really haven't lost anybody on the pitching staff. And it's all about depth, because when you're playing games back to back to back to back, and again, if you get that 2 seed too, you're playing less games than everybody else. Yeah. It's playing right into the strength of the Southern Miss ball club.
Well, right now I think we're shaping up for a potential kind of doomsday scenario for Southern Miss fans. Not necessarily because it wouldn't be fun, but I think we're looking at Southern Miss hosting Ole Miss.
No.
I mean, right now Ole Miss is on the absolute bubble to host. And they have Texas A&M and Bama left on their schedule, which are not going to be easy by any means. And they just took a series loss to Arkansas. So, if I had to guess right now, that would be the 2 seed.
I was enjoying my lunch until you said that.
I'm just glad you didn't eat your lunch, because it might be on the board right now.
Give us a break from Mississippi State and Ole Miss. Please, give us a break.
Well, I saw a projection that had Oklahoma here, which I think would be a lot of fun.
I think that'd be refreshing. Yeah, I agree.
So if you had to choose Ole Miss or LSU, and LSU may not even get in, but I'm just saying
LSU. I think I'd rather play LSU, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, because you're going to have Hunter Elliott, you know, of course, who's that lefty junk pitcher.
I don't want to make it sound like I would be terrified of seeing the Eagles play Ole Miss. They've played twice already this year. Let's move on. Can we not bring some fresh faces into Hattiesburg? I mean, what a kind of refreshing last year to have Miami and Alabama. I want good teams here, but I just think it's kind of unfair to put a state team up against each other in the playoffs. I mean, in the regionals when they've already played twice during the regular season. I think it's probably unfair to Ole Miss as well, to be honest with you. I'll bet you Ole Miss fans would just as soon not hear they're coming to Hattiesburg.
But much as our state is made fun of by other states for
they're
whatever reason,
good in college baseball.
You
buddy.
Got that
all
right.
All three Bob. Schools are mighty good in college.
That's
baseball.
I mean, there's still an outside chance for all three to host.
Right, and that's right. Real quickly, another thing that reminds me of last year is how Ben Higdon is heating up. You know, he became probably the best player on the team in some respects toward the end of the climbing the wall, catching fly balls, hitting the ball over the field. I thought he really looked good this weekend, guys.
And you know, the thing too, Bob, and I think Dima alluded to it, is that Russo is starting to hit the ball.
Look,
this team was winning without him doing that.
Yeah, he's hitting the ball pretty well.
Remember, I mean, he had 18 dingers last year and really started out slow, but now he's catching his groove. So if some of these guys that even got a late start continue to pick it up, and this pitching staff continues to throw the way they're throwing, I'm telling you, Southern Miss is rolling. They're in a good, good spot right now.
Well, like Oz said, they need to touch home plate more. I mean, 2 and 3 runs, even though they won, is just not going to cut it in postseason play.
No, no, because the pitching is going to be good on both sides.
Correct.
In postseason play. All right, softball, they're doing well. We got some news about that next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, Movie Star Restaurant reminds you, if you're looking for a great buffet meal Monday through Sunday, Movie Star Restaurant's been doing it for 25 years here in Oak Grove, Mississippi. They're open Monday through Friday, 11 to 2. Friday nights as well from 5 to 8. And that is a great time to go eat at Movie Star. You can order off the menu or eat the buffet. And then, of course, the after church Sunday buffet, 11 to 2. That's when you get up, you go to church, you go eat at the Movie Star, and then you go sleep all afternoon at the house.
I hear preachers all the time say that they'll admit, I got to be done by 11 or I'm not going to get a seat at Movie Star. Hey, and if you have a civic group, too, and you have speakers come in and so on, don't forget that Movie Star has two meeting rooms back there for you to use.
Hey, and also want to remind you, if you've got gold or silver or a grill like Kelly had up until a couple of weeks ago, you can take it to Jewel Masters, and Marty Vick will give you top dollar. Kelly did that right before he slipped off to, where was this last place you went?
Dominican Republic.
Yes, Kelly didn't want to take the grill down to the Dominican Republic. So that's where he got his airplane fare, actually, at the Movie Star. No, that's where you spend all your money.
Yes.
You made all your money at Jewel Masters.
With Marty Vick, yes.
If you have gold or jewelry, old coins or old jewelry that you just no longer have a use for, take them to Marty. He's been buying gold and silver longer than anyone in the Pine Belt, and you will always get top dollar I want to keep going back to Movie Star.
Jewel Masters.
I keep thinking about food.
You're hungry, huh?
My wife is gone. That's what the problem is. I hadn't had any good food. All right, Demas, news and notes.
Well, let's start with softball. It's the tournament, Sun Belt tournament, starts this week in Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana, and Southern Miss holds the 4 seed.
How about that?
Which, what a great year for Natalie Poole and that team.
No kidding.
To get that team to the 4 seed. I think they were picked last, right, if I'm not mistaken, in the tournament.
Second to last,
something like that. They have the 4 seed in the tournament, which is a bye, into the second round, into the quarterfinals. So they're going to play South Alabama, who's the 5 seed, who Southern Miss did beat in a series. I think they swept them, if I'm not mistaken, off the top of my head. But Southern Miss will play them Thursday night at 7 p.m. The winner of that game will play the winner of ULM, and whether or not who they play comes with the play-in game today. So they'll play ULM and the winner of Louisiana-Troy if Southern Miss were to win that game. Single elimination in the softball tournament.
Which is different than the men's baseball tournament, which is double elimination.
Right. Single elimination.
But people will go, how come? Why is softball starting their tournament so early? But remember, they started their regular season a couple weeks earlier than the men.
Why would they not play a double elimination tournament?
I don't know. Just another question that we will ask Coach Keith McGill.
I think probably made the same guy that made that decision that thought, you know, we really shouldn't let Southern Miss and Coastal play during the regular season.
You guys, listeners, I promise you, when we go down for football media day, those will be the only two.
That's going to be exciting.
Non-two football questions that I ask. is why don't Southern Miss and Coastal play in
That's
baseball?
That's your assignment, by the way.
And why is softball only a single elimination tournament instead of double?
You heard me mention the bat boy. So I put a
– Yes.
Somebody took a great picture of that child with all the Monroe bats behind him.
Yeah.
I put that on the Eagle Hour Facebook
page. I saw that.
And here's a few examples of how people reacted. So cute. The perfect bat boy. So much fun to watch. Love watching the little guy all weekend. The cutest bat boy I've ever seen. He was a hit, man. He was super, super cool.
Well, we got a lot of young coaches on the Southern Miss staff. Maybe we got their kids could rotate. You know, it doesn't matter if it's girl, boy, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know,
three or four years from now, your child can be the bat boy, the bat girl.
And you're
I don't think they want me anywhere near the dugout.
I think you may be right about that. By the way, you know, I did tell Dima, I saw him yesterday and up in the press box, and I did tell him he was gone last week to California,
yes.
But we did his prediction for him. You know, he predicted Monroe to sweep. And then he left the state.
Well, that's the smart thing to do.
I went about 2,000 miles to the west.
I see a lot of, you know, you're talking about the bat boys. A lot of teams are training dogs.
Oh, really?
Now that's to go out, and they'll have a handler there, and as soon as the handler lets go of the dog's collar, then it runs out and grabs the bat and brings it back. So that's getting to be a new
that's
trend.
That's just what we need, a dog relieving himself near first base.
That's about what I was sitting here thinking. So what happens if the dog decides to drop one right in front of home plate?
Well, it might be an editorial comment as to how the team is playing. You know,
I prefer the little boy there. I thought the little boy was really cool. Welcome back, Dima.
Thank you.
Then he brings me pictures of Dima in San Quentin.
Alcatraz.
Yeah, Alcatraz. Dima in Alcatraz.
Well, he only went to Alcatraz when he stole towels from the Trump golf course out there.
Yes, that was a beautiful golf course.
That
man.
Was some freaky stuff you showed me.
Yeah.
Cells in Alcatraz.
There's a really interesting story out there. Apparently there was a riot in the 30s or something like that, and they had to bring the U.S. Marines in, and they dropped bombs into the cell house. So, like, you're walking, and there's just black stuff everywhere from the residue of the grenades that they threw into the cell house. I'm like, that's a different time. Like, can you imagine reading a news story like on Fox News or something, you know? And, you know, Mississippi, what's the big prison up north?
Parchman.
Could you imagine if you read a story that said the U.S. Marines dropped grenades into Parchman?
Actually, I think they did. I think they did that once, and it caused $5 million worth of improvements.
Right.
You know?
Hey, and I made a visit to the press box yesterday, and whoever brought that food up, keep it coming.
Yeah,
that was pretty
really
unusual,
good.
Wasn't it, Dima?
Shout out to that. That was great food.
That was
Thank
good.
You, Jack Duggan.
All right. That wraps up the show today. Back with more Southern Miss Sports Talk tomorrow. Full show, right?
Mm-hmm. Men's golf on the move, too. They may get an at-large bid.
And a visitor from D1?
Mark Etheridge.
All right. That's tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.